Let's take our Bibles and let's hold them up and let's say the words up on the screen together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, once again, we approach your Word with expectancy. And Lord, we are expecting life change. Lord, I am expecting today that you will strengthen marriages, that you will help us get tools today from your word that will help us to build relationships and live life at a level that only can be possible because your word helps us and provides us what we need to live that kind of life. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know that the word will prepare you to live a good life? Anybody need some coaching when it comes to living a good life? Well, the word of God will do that. Now, today, we are beginning a brand new series entitled Boundaries, Anyone? And you say, well, Pastor Jane, what are you talking about when you talk about boundaries, anyone? Well, obviously, we'll get more into that as we get into the message today. But really, we're talking about healthy relationships and the boundaries that we need to set to make sure those relationships are healthy. Now, we live life vertically and horizontally. You see, we have a vertical relationship with God, and that's first and foremost. We need that relationship. We need to be communing with God. But while that is first and foremost, that horizontal or that vertical relationship, we live life horizontally. Come on, are you with me? I live life with you. The truth is, if it was just vertical, oh, life would be a pleasure. For you too, not just me. Because you have to deal with me and I have to deal with you. And we all have to deal with that person. You know which one I'm talking about. So listen, we live life horizontally. So the Bible teaches us boundaries that we need to set, healthy boundaries for ourselves. Now listen, I can't go setting Jim's boundaries. I'd like to. But I can't. I can set my boundaries. And really, we're going to begin this series in the light of Valentine's Day, and all you men owe me. Because I am bringing Valentine's Day to the front here, front and center. You know what they say? They say that Super Bowl, you know, we just had the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is really a man's Valentine's Day. And really, Valentine's Day is a ladies' Super Bowl. So you better bring some food and some flowers for the Super Bowl that's coming up this week. But I want to minister to you a message today to married couples. And while I'm going to be speaking about marriage, so many of the principles that I'm talking about today can apply to anywhere. But husbands, wives, I want you to be intentional when you're listening to this message today. And I want you to receive it to help your marriage. And I simply entitled this message today, Healthy Boundaries, Happy Marriage. And so let's get into this message today. But let's start out by talking about what's a boundary. In fact, I'm going to answer two questions. What's a boundary and why do we have boundaries? Job 38:8, this is God speaking. And he says, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. Now, God is teaching us here about what boundaries are. And he said, even when I created the oceans, I said to them, you can come this far, but you can't come any farther. But you can come this far. Let me read that passage in another translation, just two of the verses, verses 10 and 11 from the Good News Translation. It says, I marked a boundary for the sea, and I kept it behind bolted gates. I told it, so far and no further. Here or here your powerful waves must stop. And then just one verse from the New International Reader's Version, same passage, but I want to read just verse 11 from Job 38, 11. It says, I said, you can come this far, but you can't come any farther. Here is where your proud waves have to stop. God teaches us in this passage what boundaries are. Boundary or a boundary is a limit set. It's a limit set. Think about speed limits. Now, just like any other boundary, you can go beyond the boundary. But if you do, you could get yourself in trouble. A boundary is a limit set. But also you think about speed limits. If the speed limit is 70, then it tells you how fast you can go. You really can go fast. 70 is pretty fast. So it tells you how far you can go. But then it tells you you shouldn't go any further. Now, there's a reason why they don't want you to go any further than that. They didn't just pick an arbitrary number. Now, some places I feel like they did, but because you really should be able to go faster on that road. How many of you know, though, I've never thought you should be able to go slower. Anyway, because we like to go fast. But come on. A boundary is a limit set. Speed limits. We have speed limits. Nations have borders. And not only do nations have borders, nations have guards at their borders to make sure that you respect the boundaries that they set. There's a reason that they're there. And listen, one of the reasons, and we have, you know, boundaries that define the United States of America. And here's what America says to me as an American citizen. Jane, as an American citizen, as long as you stay within America, within our borders, there's certain things we can do for you, and we can do for you pretty quick. Yeah. Now, you can go out, and we'll do what we can. But we may not be able to protect you if you go over there. I'll do what I can. Y'all are smart. I don't even have to explain that, do I? I got the smart. Well, I believe everybody here at Faith Life Church is smart. Come on. Nations have borders, limits. They put guards at those borders. People have property lines. They define and protect what belongs to us. Jeff and I live in a home, and we have property lines. We have neighbors, but they stay in their yard, and we stay in our yard. Now, we can cross property lines, but we always know I'm over in their yard, so I'm going to act a certain way. Come on. It's their yard. They can do what they want to in their yard within certain limits. Now, let me just say this. You can do what you want to in your yard, but there are consequences. Yeah. Even within your boundaries. But property lines, they define what belongs to us. It defines where yours ends and where mine begins. Just like we have all these boundaries in the natural world, we need healthy boundaries in our lives. We need healthy boundaries in marriage so that we can have a happy, enjoyable marriage. People need to know our limits. We need to define how far they can come. Why have boundaries? We said, what are boundaries? Why have boundaries? Proverbs 4:23 gives us some insight to that. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Boundaries protect us from harm. When we talk about our heart, we're talking about our inner being. Our person. Come on, you know what your person is. And sometimes you may tell somebody, you're messing with my stuff. You're messing with my emotions. You're messing me up. You're getting it. You're breaking my heart. You're hurting my feelings. You're putting a weight on me. I feel the responsibility. I feel the care. I feel the pain. The Bible says that we have an inner being, a spirit and a soul, our thoughts, our will, our emotions, our passions, our inner strength. And the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Now, we do need to guard our physical body, but can I tell you this? If you'll guard the inside, you will automatically provide protection for the outside. Okay? Outside is protected because you're taking care of guarding what's coming in. And think about this. When we say why boundaries protect us from harm, think about how many people have had damaged souls because they didn't have good boundaries. I like to say this, boundaries serve as guardrails that protect us as we journey through life. My husband has a new car. And And so it's new to him. It's his company that he works for. He travels, so they help provide him a car, and he has a new car. And I was driving it the other day, and it has all these gadgets, So I'm just trying to learn how to even just drive it. And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, I feel this little, pulsing in the steering wheel. I'm like, what is that? And then a little bit later, it's pulsing again. And I realize every time you veer off the lane, I thought, how does it know where that white light is? But I thought, you know what? You know when someone stepped over your boundary. You know when somebody's getting in your stuff and they don't belong there. And what boundaries do is boundaries are those invisible guardrails, but they're there to protect you. And listen, they're not only there to protect you from people coming in, they're there to protect you from you going over the edge. They also have those guardrails on the highways, especially the interstate highways. And if you get over the little things and then you go bump, 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 well, it's to wake you up. Yeah. People fall asleep on the highway. Too bad they don't have some kind of texting thing to. Come on, got to pay attention. Proverbs 6:27 says this, can a man scoop a flame into his lap and not have his clothes catch on fire? Listen, if you don't have boundaries, you will have damage in your soul. And if you don't have boundaries in your marriage, if you don't have two people who have good boundaries, you're not going to have a healthy marriage and you won't have a happy marriage. Listen, we safeguard our soul with these boundaries. Businesses hire guards to protect their property. People put up gates. We have gated communities. How much more does the Bible say you need to guard your heart? Now, marriage boundaries. How does all of that fit into marriage? I'm so glad you asked, because that's what the message is about today. I'm getting to it. Matthew 19:4, I want to go to some words of Jesus. And actually, Jesus here is literally just quoting something from the Old Testament, from Genesis. Matthew 19:4, speaking of marriage. Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied. They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Now, first of all, let's make sure that we define God's goal for marriage. God instituted marriage. Listen, you cannot redefine what you did not institute. I don't care if it's our nation or another nation. No, go back to the one who instituted marriage. Now, he says this, the goal of marriage is two becoming one. So how does that apply with boundaries? Because it seems like boundaries speaks about separateness, dividing lines. And so how does boundaries apply to marriage? Some might even ask, sounds like no boundaries needed here, because it's two people becoming one. let me change that wording a little bit, and you'll see this throughout Scripture. But really, we could also say when God says the goal of marriage is to becoming one, really the goal is unity. The goal is unity. It's a union of two people coming together. In fact, let me say this. The goal in marriage is unity, not a loss of individual identity. Did you get that? The goal in marriage is unity, not a loss of individual identity. Marriage is also not about finding yourself. Oh, Lord, please. Do not saddle that with anybody. It's about giving yourself, not finding yourself. Go find yourself before you give that to anybody else. Now, before you can have a healthy, happy marriage, you have to know yourself. Identify it clearly so that then you can give it to someone. It takes two to become one.
Yes, it does.
Think about the unity candle. In fact, I'm going to talk about this. Bring your own strength. Yeah. You know, sometimes, and forgive me for using this, but it's what we all know. And sometimes you see a party, some advertisement, it'll say BYOB.
Yeah.
We all know what that means. Bring your own bottle. Yeah. You know, it could mean Coke, but we know it usually means an alcoholic beverage. But we know what that means, BYOB. Really, for your marriage, it's BYOS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring your own strength.
Right.
We're talking about boundaries. Healthy, happy marriages, bring your own strength. Can you bring me those candles and set that up? Many of you probably have seen this. I want to illustrate this with the union. I need the little candelabra there and that, and then that green thing. You can set that green thing on it. You've probably seen at a wedding the unity candles. And actually, if you can set it on that and just bring that over here, then you just leave it and I'll put them in when I need it. Okay, now he's with me. Sorry, I didn't give good instructions beforehand.
Yeah, you did. I needed a reminder.
Oh, he says he just needed a reminder. I was going to take one for the team there. Now listen, you know what happens is they'll usually have three candles in this, and then these two side candles are already lit, and hopefully, Jesus, please let this go. You know how that is when you're trying to do something and these wicks are a little short here, but we'll get them. When you have these two separate candles, and basically the minister who's ever officiating at this part says that two are going to become one. But now listen, you got to remember this. Two are uniting together. This middle candle here has no light except for what the two bring it. Now, it's a problem. This is a problem. When only one is lighting the middle candle. Make sure that you are lit before, bring your own strength. Listen, if somebody asks you to light their candle, don't do it. Because you're going to have to keep doing it every day of your life. And listen, we have limits. There is only so much I can do for Jeff. There is only so much I can do for you. You got to bring your own strength. Now, if two of these bring their own strength, don't go out. You may have been strong for marriage, but you got to last. Oh, come on, I got to have faith. I prayed, Lord. There's a little, it must be the thing too. Well, y'all get it. You know, this one's going to be lit from those two. I got the smart group. You can figure that out. Now, look at my slide. People say, well, that's my other half. And I know what they mean by that. It's just they're saying something enduring. But if you are half a person, If you feel like, oh, that's my other half, that is not the right attitude to have towards marriage. Do you have my slide there, one half times one half? One half times one half equals one fourth. That's less. Because you see, if I'm only half a person and I bring it to you, then you're going to steal some of what I have. Listen, you got to give in marriage. Listen, but God intended it this way. One times one is one. So we can come together and there's power in unity. It takes two to become one. It's about unity, not disappearance. You don't disappear. Your thoughts, your desires, your strength doesn't disappear. You don't lose yourself in marriage. You define yourself and then you give it away. Now, where do we begin with boundary setting in marriage? And really, like I say, some of this can apply in life generally, but if you're going to be married to someone else, you owe it to them to exercise these principles that I'm talking about. And you say, well, I'm already married. Well, then it's not too late. Do it now. Because anytime you grow stronger, the marriage is going to grow stronger. And we're all growing stronger. And it's not I'm saying that you have to be perfect before you get married, but you got to have some light. But I'm going to give you two principles, and these two principles I'm going to give you that have to relate to boundaries, but they can also be boundaries in marriage. But here's the first principle for a healthy, happy marriage. Number one, know thyself, love thyself. And that is all one, and I'm going to explain why I've used it as one. This is the first boundary in marriage. Boundaries about defining. What a boundary does is it defines something. You got to define yourself first. If you want to have a happy marriage, a fulfilling marriage, if you want to enjoy being married, then know thyself, love thyself. Now, let me take you to a passage of Scripture, and I'll explain this for you. Matthew 22:37, back to the words of Jesus. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can I say this? You owe it to your spouse to love God. You owe it to your spouse to love God. You see, because when you love God, what you're actually doing, and the Bible teaches us this, is you're actually responding to God's love for you. You could not love God if he didn't first love you. Now, all of a sudden, when you decide, I'm going to love God, and you go to God, then he begins to pour out his love on you. And when he pours out his love on you, then you have the strength you need to love him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Listen, to love God is to know the truth that you are worthy of being loved. God's love for us and our love for God helps us to know the most important thing about us. I said, know thyself. I want you to get this. Do you know the most important thing about you? This is what the Bible teaches, not what the world says. It's what the Bible says, and this is true of everybody in here, whether you're married or not married. Here is the most important thing about you, and you better know this. God loves you. That's the most important thing to know about you, is that God, who is perfect, who is creator, who is all-powerful, God chose you. Love is a choice. And God loves you. Know thyself. Now, why is that so important in marriage? Because if you don't know yourself, you're not going to love yourself. If you don't know that God loves you, you're going to always be searching for your value. And oftentimes, then we'll look to our partner to tell us that we're worthy. We need to know thyself, and here's what you need to know. I am worthy of being loved. I'm worthy of being loved. Wow. Now, secondly, once I know that I'm worthy of being loved, then I need to intentionally love myself. Now, come on, just think about this for a minute. Why would you ask me I'm thinking about this within the context of marriage. Why would you ask me to love you and you don't even love yourself? In other words, I'm going to invite you to dinner and I'm going to say, I think this is nasty stuff, but you eat it. I don't like it, but I want you to eat it every day. I'm going to get all in your stuff here for just a moment. You see, that's why you do not want to, besides what the Bible just says about, you know, remaining holy and pure. We live in such a time where sexual promiscuity is just permitted, and not even just permitted, it's approved, you know. But don't ever have sex with somebody that you don't want to be the father of your children, because it confuses, listen, it confuses that child. Totally confuses them, because you won't marry them. They're not good enough to be your husband, but they're good enough to be your father. What's with that? They're not good enough to be my wife, but they're good enough to be your mother. Sorry, I don't want to go there. Come on. Now, let me back down. Come down, Jane. If that has happened, there is grace. That's what grace is for. So we've all done that, so grace, no condemnation, grace. But if you haven't done it, listen to what I just said. Come on, know thyself. Be responsible to love yourself. Here's something, I got to get through all of this. I only have less than 10 minutes. Now here's why this part, know thyself, love thyself, is so important, is because it makes you sticky. You see, to have good boundaries, you also need bonding. And now we're talking about marriage. You see, it's not just about setting boundaries in marriage. Boundaries only happen. Healthy boundaries can only be lived out when there's bonding. And the love is the bonding. The love is what makes me sticky. One of the reasons why when I say no, and boundaries is about saying no, and when I say no, you're going to love me anyway because I'm just so sticky. Because there's some bonding there. So you're going to respect my boundaries because there's some bonding. Listen, don't you try to set boundaries in a marriage if you're not willing to love that person. If you're not willing to be sticky. Now, I've got some sticky notes. How many of you love sticky notes? I do. Everybody. You know why we love sticky notes? Because they're sticky. Now, here's what a good family does. A good home, if you're raised in a good home, they make sure before you leave, you have plenty of stick-em. So then you can stick to things. And you can stick to your marriage because they loved you and they showed you about love, so you can stick. And then when you get to people who are both sticky, come on. Then you can stick together. Yeah. Now, I know some of you are saying, I didn't get enough stick-em. That's why you go to God. Because God says he'll be a father to the fatherless. He'll be a parent to those of us who need parents. Now listen, here's what you don't want to do. And again, I'm going to talk to single people. One of the reasons why you don't want to get involved sexually before you're married is because every time, the Bible teaches this, every time you have sexual union with somebody, you stick with them. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, this is just the way it is. I'm sorry, I am going to be a little gender bias here. But ladies, you lose more of your stick-em quicker than men do. You leave more in the bed than they do. You just do. It's just the way we are. We're more vulnerable. And so, you know what? If you stick to a lot of people, different people here, 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 then pretty soon, when you find the right one, you barely have any stick-em left because you've left it everywhere. That's why boundaries, men, young women, that's why boundaries are so important, because when you find the right one, you want to be able to stick. Now, grace. If you have done that, go to God and he'll replace your stick-em. But now you can't go do that, counting that God's going to. Come on. Anyway, this could take me a long time. Be sticky. That's know thyself. Love thyself. Now here's the other thing, and I'm going to get to the second one. Healthy marriage, healthy boundaries, or healthy boundaries, happy marriage. Here's the second thing. While you need love first, that's the bonding, then here's the first boundary that you need in marriage. Control yourself. Now listen, you need love first, because if you love something, you'll respect it. If you really love something, you'll respect it. Control yourself. Proverbs 25:28. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Without boundaries in a marriage, you leave that marriage open to attack. Yeah. If you do not have the boundary in your life of self-control, then you're going to bring that into the marriage, and it's going to leave the marriage open for attack. You need to control yourself. A person with self-control brings strength to a marriage union. Think about it. Do you want to be married to someone who can't control themselves? Damage is the result of a lack of self-control. Think about it. Marriages are broken because one of the partners didn't control themselves. They didn't have good boundaries. They didn't define themselves. And then they didn't bring that strength into the union and also protect the union. When you control yourself, you also protect the union because you're a part of something together. So I bring my self-control. Jeff brings his self-control. And then together we protect the union.
Amen.
Think about it. Adultery is when one, the husband or the wife, doesn't control their sexual desires, doesn't control their feelings. And listen, for women, it's you don't control your feelings leads you to adultery. For men, it's sexual desires. Somebody didn't control themselves, and now harm happens. Damage to the soul. Sometimes, literally, the marriage is broken. How about overspending? Oh, somebody don't want to hear this. Listen, if you can't control yourself with spending, you're going to put so much because you're in a union. You're in a union. It's not just your money.
Right.
Oh, did I just say that?
Yes,
it's our money.
Yes.
And if you don't trust that person with money, don't marry them. And if they won't give you their wallet, girls, don't marry them either. Now listen, Jeff wouldn't give me the freedom he gives me with the wallet if he didn't know that I didn't, but for the fact that he knows I have self-control. That I will not put our union in jeopardy. I value the union. I value the family. I control myself. Boundaries aren't about controlling others. We're going to talk about marriage. Now, boundaries will have you saying no, sometimes even to a spouse. But it's not about controlling the spouse. It's about controlling yourself. We don't set boundaries in our marriage to get our spouse to do such and such. We put boundaries on ourselves so we can bring strength to the unity, bring strength to the union, BYOS. I control myself through boundaries so I don't put on someone else something that is my responsibility. Listen, I don't want to put on Jeff something that is my responsibility. Now let me end with this. When it comes to self-control there and in a marriage, two things that you're really going to have to watch, that you're going to have to control, and it's kind of different for men and women, but we both have to control both, and that is they're both feelings, and it's anger and happiness. Men, you're going to have to control your anger. Now, ladies, we are too. We get angry, and depending on your personality, you know, some people are more passive in their anger. Some are not so passive. I bet you can guess which one I am. But anger, got to control your feelings. And then got to control your feelings when it comes to happiness. And really, when I'm talking about happiness, I'm talking about who's responsible for that happiness. Because I don't feel happy. Now, let me read you the scripture about anger. Ephesians 4:26, it says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now listen, if the devil gets in, he's going to do damage. Guard your soul, marriages, husbands, wives, don't let anger rule you. And if we think about this word anger, it literally means embitterment, irritation. Are you thinking about that irritation or what irritates you about your husband or your wife? Are you thinking about that all day long?
Come on.
Till you get angry. He irritates me. That irritates me. Control your anger. You're going to get bitter about it. It's exasperation. It's to be angry. It's wrath. I remember one night, and of course I know the Bible. And so I remember one night Jeff had made me angry. And how many of you know you feel more justified when they did the thing that caused the anger?
Yeah.
The reason I'm angry is because you did such and such. And so I don't even remember what it is now, and this has been years ago, but I remember going to bed and, you know, in fact, this is early on in our marriage. And so I'm going to bed and I'm thinking, well, he needs to apologize because we can't let the sun go down on our wrath. That's what the Bible says. I mean, and here's what the Lord said. We're both in bed. I'm thinking, doesn't he know that scripture? Maybe he doesn't. And here's what the Lord said. There's only one person in this bed that's angry. He's going to sleep. He's over it. Now listen, you need to control your anger, Jane. It doesn't matter if he was wrong or right. You are responsible for your anger. This is mine. My Pastor Jane, you don't know what they did. I didn't say, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Don't sin. Don't damage the union. Now, how about happiness? Sometimes, and ladies, we're more guilty of this. Well, my husband needs to make me happy. And listen, Valentine's Day is coming up. And it's true, we want our husbands to be attentive. But you also need to be responsible for your own happiness. And if he doesn't do the right thing, you better take responsibility for your feelings. And you better not go around pouting all day. You are responsible for your own happiness. Now, Proverbs 16:20 tells us where we need to go for our happiness. And this is to both parties in a marriage. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. Other translation says happy. That word joyful means to be blessed, to be successful, happiness, to prosper. In fact, one Greek scholar says that this verb is used when a man or a woman has done something positive, worthy of blessings or congratulations. Listen, if you want the blessings of the Lord in your life, it is not dependent upon your spouse. It is dependent upon you having good personal boundaries and looking to the Lord. No spouse is going to be perfect. We need to control our feelings. Listen, there's sometimes, and women, I'm going to close in just a minute. I'm wrapping this up because he's put up the stop sign. That's a boundary. Plowing through a boundary as I'm teaching on boundaries. Forgive me, Lord. We put a little margin in our boundary. Now listen, women, sometimes we are feely and sometimes we want to talk to our husband, especially when we might be going through a rough thing or we're dealing with something emotionally. And, you know, and I thank God my husband's a wonderful support and he listens. But there's times where I just know he's had too much Jane. You know, you can have too much of a good thing. And so I just need to control my feelings, because I want to spill out over him. He's been gone all week. He's been on the road. And I'm just waiting for him to come home so I can just go, ah. No, we've already been on the phone, talked about, don't say anything more about, control yourself. My happiness, sometimes I just have to take it to the Lord. Men, sometimes you're just going to have to take it to the Lord. We're talking about healthy boundaries for happy marriages. Did you get something out of that today? I pray that you did. You know what? I really feel led of the Lord to do this, so I'm going to do it. I know it might take another minute, but if